How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
New York made a powerful statement, not just for the people of New York, but the people all across this nation. We reached a new level of social justice.
He is, in fact, wants to impose one point of view on everybody, namely that there's only one sort of marriage and it's genderless. And if you don't accept it, then you're a bigot.
People of all faiths are welcome in this country. Our nation was founded on a principle of religious tolerance.
You see concern about Mormonism particularly strong among white evangelical Protestants. A little bit over a third, 34%, tell us they'd be less likely to back a candidate who was Mormon.
That faucet of forgiveness needs to be wide open because God's not stingy.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
It is odd to hear Jesus say, as many heard him say in the gospel reading on Sunday, that the Father, the Heavenly Father, has actually hidden things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children, especially in an age where nothing is supposed to be hidden, where the wise and the understanding claim to know everything, and where the church, that often goes on the advice of the wise and understanding, said that there really isn't anything that's incomprehensible to the unbelieving mind. We simply have to sell Christianity and its benefits for life, and even the rankest unbeliever should come around to our position, buy what we're selling. Now, what does Jesus mean when he says that the Father has hidden these things from the wise and revealed them to little children? We're going to do a little sermon review here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be reviewing a sermon preached by Pastor Brent Kuhlman of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska, on that passage from Matthew's 11th chapter. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Or you can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, tweet at issuesetc, or we got a little audio open lines coming up in the second hour of the program. You can go and leave a response to our question, is there a Christian position on raising the debt ceiling? That's all in the news, of course, as Congress and the president try and hash out what to do with over $14 trillion of debt that there's no way we're going to pay off. To do something with it. We have to do something about it. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. In the second half hour of the program, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll be journeying with the wise men in the second chapter of Matthew. Then some open lines. Is there a Christian position on raising the debt ceiling? And we'll round it all off talking about the ouster of Robert Schuller Sr. from the Crystal Cathedral Ministries. He was voted off the board, and that means, for all intents and purposes, his connection with the church that he founded decades ago, the Crystal Cathedral, and the ministry, Hour of Power, is over. Now, his son was ousted several years back, and now the senior is out of Crystal Cathedral's ministry and the Hour of Power. Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will join us on this Tuesday afternoon. Now, whenever we do a sermon review, we always need to clearly define our terms before we begin. First of all, what is Christian preaching for? There are many who will tell you that Christian preaching is for, well, whatever purpose the preacher wants it to be for. If he's got an idea over the weekend that he wants to share with his people, if he's got a pet project that he wants everybody involved in, if he wants to express his opinion on politics or family or sex or whatever it may be, that's, they say, what Christian preaching can be for. But Jesus holds a different opinion. Christian preaching is for the purpose of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He says it right there in, I think, Matthew's gospel, where he says that repentance and the forgiveness of sins, it's Luke's gospel, should be preached in his name to all the world, beginning in Jerusalem. He says, repentance and the forgiveness of sins preached in his name. We have no other directive whatsoever from Jesus. So when you're sitting and listening to a sermon, as we're going to sit and listen to one here on Issues, etc., in just a few minutes, you should be listening for those two things, the preaching of repentance and the preaching of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Now, that brings us to our sermon diagnostic that we like to use whenever we review sermons. Simple three parts. If we're talking about preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, then Jesus' name ought to be mentioned in Christian preaching, shouldn't it? So, the first part of our diagnostic is, how often is Jesus mentioned? Just a running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned. Now, if Jesus is mentioned, then you can go on to part two. That is Jesus the subject of the verbs? What does that mean? It simply means, is Jesus, in those sentences that make up the sermon, is Jesus the one who is running the verbs? Is he the one who is doing the action? After all, we are to testify to Christ, we are to preach Christ and him crucified. That would imply that we talk about what Jesus has done. Now, that's part two. Is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And then, if he is, you can go on to part three of our sermon diagnostic, and that is, what are the verbs? Just a simple question. What is the preacher telling you that Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? Is this the Jesus who is in essence like the fitness coach that you meet at the YMCA? He'll give you his time. He will give you some advice. He will show you how. He may even stand there and encourage you, inspire you even, to do what you need to do, but he is essentially there to help you do what you need to do. Or is this the Jesus who does what you can't do, what you didn't do, what you wouldn't do? Is this the Jesus, using the verbs of the New Testament, who lives and suffers and dies and rises again for you in your place as your substitute? Now, the sermon we're going to listen to and review on this Tuesday afternoon comes from Matthew chapter 11, preached by Pastor Brent Kuhlman. The text, Matthew 11, beginning at verse 25, at that time Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Here's the sermon for our review. Pastor Brent Kuhlman, preaching at Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Well, some people just don't get it, do they? Jesus, that is. He truly is an enigma. People just know, they don't know what to do with this Jesus fellow. I mean, they have a hard time with him. Can he truly be the Christ? Can he truly be the Savior? So few seem to believe in him. So few receive his gifts. He appears to be a total failure, a flop, a washout. It's no wonder, because the Lord Jesus has a one-track mind. He insists on being betrayed, brutally beaten, and then hung graveyard dead on a cross. And to the world, he does appear to be a complete failure. And then he comes in what people would say failure gift. To do the salvation job for sinners in what appears to be a failed mission. Well, you know what that means, don't you? It means that when Jesus does the salvation job all by himself, that leaves you and me and everyone else out of the salvation equation. And that is about as exclusive as one can get. And then in the text, Jesus bursts forth with one of the strangest prayers that you can ever hear from the New Testament. It is a prayer of thanksgiving. And when you heard it, you might have said to yourself, boy, should Jesus really be praying this way? Some would say, I don't think so. And yet he does it anyway. Listen again, he says, "Thank you, Father. Thanks be to you. You have hidden what you're up to in the world with me for the salvation of sinners. You have hidden salvation, tucked it neatly inside of me. My suffering, my cross, my death, tucked underneath all of that is the world's redemption, the world's recreation. Thanks to you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the salvation know-it-alls who insist on a do-it-yourself salvation. Oh, thanks to you, Father, that you have revealed what you're up to in the world with me to the little children. Oh, yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Brothers and sisters, if you insist on a Jesus who is not totally Savior, you're in the dark. Reject Jesus as Savior and you're about as religiously stuck on stupid as they come. No matter how much you boast about your theological sincerity, wisdom, or understanding. But you're the little children. God reveals himself for you in the suffering, beaten, and dead body of Jesus. There in that broken and dead body is the fullness of the deity, as Paul says in Colossians. In Jesus, God reveals himself to you as God for you and for your salvation. And that is precisely what Jesus claims for himself. Absolutely everything, he says, has been handed over to me by my Father. That's what he says in the text. And no one really knows the Son except the Father, and no one really knows the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son has chosen to reveal him.
We'll take a break when we come back. A little more from Pastor Brent Kuhlman of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska, doing a sermon review of a sermon he preached on Sunday. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 25, is the text. Jesus revealing himself, the Father revealing Jesus to us, to little children. We'll be right back.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 5th of July. We're coming to you live. We're doing a sermon review. Pastor Brent Kuhlman preaching on Matthew chapter 11. We'll get back to that sermon in just a second. We do, with the new month, have a new Issues Etc. book of the month. It's called The Christian's Mission, and it is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb. If you remember, some time back, not too long back, we did a nine-part weekly series with Dr. Sherb on The Christian's Mission, and we were working the entire time from the Issues Etc. book of the month for July, The Christian's Mission. It's actually a Bible study built around, well, he had four G's. He likes to organize himself that way, with the emphasis on what we receive from Christ. Also, you'll notice the emphasis of this particular sermon we're reviewing: get Christ's forgiveness, grow in knowing Christ, glow with Christ's love, and go tell the good news in your calling through the church. That's what you'll find in the Issues Etc. book of the month for July, The Christian's Mission by Dr. Ken Sherb. You can order it from Concordia Publishing House right now. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for July, The Christian's Mission by Dr. Ken Sherb. So far, we have heard in this sermon that if you want the do-it-yourself religion, the do-it-yourself salvation, if you want into the formula of how you are saved, what did he say? You're about as spiritually stuck on stupid as it gets? Is that how he put it? I like this kind of preaching. It reflects something we were recently talking about on the program with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, preaching that actually points the finger of the law and, as we'll see here a little bit later in this sermon, the finger of the gospel as well. Back to this sermon preached by Pastor Brent Kuhlman at Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska.
Do you want to know who the one true God is? Do you want to know what he's like? Whether he cares for you at all? Then you don't climb the escalator to the heavens and peek through the clouds, because you won't find him there. Instead, hold on to the man, Jesus, who is absolutely way down here. Jesus, God in the flesh, to whom absolutely everything has been given. He is the all authority in heaven and on earth. Given to Jesus. If you don't know that Jesus, then you don't know God. It's really that simple. And yet it's really that scandalous. Most people, if you ask them, they say, oh, I believe in God. You know, when they do the polls every year, how many Americans believe in God? 80%. But then you ask which one, well, that's when they stumble and they can't talk. Which one is it? Most people make up a God for themselves. And most people in America believe the satanic lie, oh, you shall be as God. But Jesus says again in the text I repeated, he says, no one really knows the Son except the Father, and no one really knows the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And you little children, you little Christians have been given that revelation. You see, it is only Christians who know who the one true God is through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Father, at immense cost, gives himself to the sinful and rebellious world in the birth, suffering, death, and resurrection of his beloved Son, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, God lives not for himself. God does not exist for himself. He lives and he exists for you, in the man conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, the suffering, dead, and risen Jesus is the revelation of the true God on the earth. Only in that Jesus, then, do we know the Father.
What I find remarkable here, and he's quite right, what I find remarkable here is that many preachers would actually agree that Jesus is the only way to know the true God. They would affirm wholeheartedly Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What the marvel, the not a good marvel, what this the tragic, sad, and unbelievably remarkable thing is that the preachers who would affirm this, who would with a completely straight face agree that Jesus is the only way of salvation, that you cannot know the true God apart from Jesus Christ, failed to preach Christ as he would be preached Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. They turned Jesus into a do-it-yourself, or kind of, he's kind of, you should watch those shows on television, the DIY shows, do-it-yourself shows, where they have an expert there to show you how, or they have an expert there to demonstrate it, or to encourage you that you can do it if you just have the right tools. That's the kind of Jesus they're preaching, not the kind of Jesus that reveals the only true God in his saving work, in his suffering, in his death. The cross, so sadly omitted from so many sermons, fails to reveal who the true God is. Those sermons that omit Christ in his saving work, that fail, they talk a lot about Jesus, but it's Jesus, the guy who can help you get it done, rather than Jesus who has done it and done what? Has taken your place in suffering, death, and resurrection for your salvation. If you don't get Jesus to the cross, then you never get the hearers to the true God. That's how these things have been hidden, as Pastor Kuhlman has so rightly said, hidden in a dead Jesus on the cross to be revealed to babes.
And only in that man Jesus and his cross is there salvation. And so, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Scientists, Hindus, Buddhists, secularists, agnostics, or atheists, no matter how sincere, no matter how religious they appear to be, they are idolaters. They are not Christians. Now, I don't say that to be arrogant, and I don't say that to you so that you can go around and be arrogant. We say that with a heavy heart. It is just simply what Jesus himself says in the scriptures, that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. No one really knows the Son, Jesus says in the text, except the Father. And no one really knows the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus alone is the revelation of God in the flesh and in the world. If you know Jesus, then you know God. And he's God for you. That's why he says in the text, come to me. Come to me. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus says, come to me, you are then invited into whose presence? Into the presence of God himself. To the one true God himself. And what a strange invitation indeed. He invites who to himself? Sinners. Sinners. His kingdom is for sin-sick and sin-weary sinners. Come to me, he says in the text, all you who are weary and heavy with burden. In other words, he is saying, if you are bogged down with sin, if you are burned out on religion, if you are sick to death with the principles that are prescribed for living, health, wealth, and success, spirituality of American preachers, devastated by trying to save yourself, by always trying to be good, then Jesus says, I'm the man for you. I am the God-man for you. And then Jesus gives a promise. That's right, a promise. A promise that you can count on. A promise that you can hang your hat on. No, not your hat, but your life. He says, I will give you rest. His yoke of forgiveness finally gives you rest. Brothers and sisters, he's answered for all your sin. Every sin you've ever committed or will ever commit, he has made everything right with the Father. You can't, no matter how hard you try. So it's time for all of us to stop it and knock it off. Now, to you, gentle and humble in heart, Jesus says, I forgive you. Do you see my wounds? Jesus says, you can rest there. I died for you. Do you see that bread and cup of wine? It's my body and blood that I offered on the cross for your salvation. Eat it and drink it. It's for you. It's for your forgiveness. Enjoy the rest that I give to you. Enjoy my gifts, Jesus is saying. Live from them and from my giving out of my Good Friday benefits. Oh, little children, you know who God is. It's Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
All right, that's the sermon preached by Pastor Brent Kuhlman of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska, on Matthew chapter 11, 25 through 30. You might say, it can't be that simple. There has to be more to it. Well, that's the great thing. When preachers do what Jesus has instructed preachers to do, remember how we started this? That repentance and the forgiveness of sins be preached in his name to all nations. When preachers do what Jesus has instructed them to do, there is always more. There's always more sin that needs to be repented of and forgiven. There are always more sinners who need to hear this saving message. You know, what has Pastor Kuhlman said? He said simply that there is no other salvation than in this message of Christ for sinners. There's no other salvation, period. But with Jesus, there's always more salvation, too. We'll be right back. We'll be talking about the wise men in Matthew chapter 2 with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christ-centered. Cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Lawmakers in Connecticut want to protect teenage girls from using tanning beds without parental consent, but they think giving them surgical abortions without a parent's permission is just fine. A legislator added a pro-life amendment regarding parents and abortion of minors to the tanning bed legislation. Pro-abortion members of the state Senate scuttled the entire bill before they'd even allow the pro-life amendment to be debated. All this happened in the wake of a 15-year-old girl there being raped by a 41-year-old man. She got pregnant, so he secretly took her to Planned Parenthood for an abortion, which was more than happy to cover up the crime. We need parental consent laws in every state to protect young girls, and we need Planned Parenthood prosecuted.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.